My message tonight is one word, and I think this is a proper word to preach right before our missions conference. It's the word committed. It's a word committed. And I've thought a lot about that this week. And, you know, there's a lot of things that we need to be committed to. But as hard as I tried, Pastor Holmes, I couldn't get down to three. Pastor Holmes become pastor and start preaching, he just ruined all my messages because I can't get down to three. But the good news is I got down to four. So I know a lot of you will like that. But this seriously is a serious message. Seriously is serious. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3 and 4 I have two text verses. I encourage you to, if you can, follow the Bible, but they will be on the screens. It'd be good to write this down. It really would, to follow along. I take notes every message. My wife takes notes as well. But it's important, I really think it is, to take notes. And it's good sometimes to refer back. Sometimes just good to look back. And sometimes when you're having a difficulty, you remember, you know, I heard a message on that. And flick back through your notebook and look at that. And sometimes you can really get strengthened and help by looking at the verses. But Proverbs chapter 16, verses 3 and 4 says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil." And then I go to Psalms 37, verse 5, which you're probably expecting with the title committed. "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Committed is such an important part of our Christian life. If you and I are going to have success as a Christian, we must be committed. You cannot be successful and pleasing to God if we're half in and half out as a Christian. And I know that you all agree with that tonight. But I want you to notice point number one tonight, Roman numeral number one, our first commitment must be to God. I must be committed to God first and above all. And that commitment begins with salvation. My commitment to God began in November of 1969 when I was saved, when I clearly understood the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, when I heard that I was a sinner. And when I heard that, and I heard the scripture, when I heard it read, when I heard it preached, as I believed it, and as I was convicted by the Holy Spirit, I knew I was a sinner. And when I heard Romans 10, 9 and 10 come from that pulpit, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto the righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And it was explained to me that I had to confess that I was a sinner. I had to believe in my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, and after 3 days God raised him from the dead. And I needed to invite Jesus to come in my life and heart. And I did just that. When I walked down that altar that day, and my friends, Romans 10, 13 assures us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And my friends, it's been a wonderful life all these years. And you cannot have a life committed to God until you're first saved. And I encourage you, if there's one here tonight that's never yet received Christ as your personal Savior, tonight when the invitation is given, rush down to this aisle. Let somebody know, I need Jesus. I'm not saved. I'm not headed for heaven. I want to be born again. And we'll gladly take the Bible, show you how to be saved, so that when you walk out those doors tonight, you can know by the Word of God, the promise of God, there's a place reserved for you in heaven when you leave this life. Oh, my friends, what a joy that is. And it's not based on what you and I've done. It's based on what He did on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. Then after we're saved, my friends, what's next? Service. Service. We need to be committed, yes, to God, but service is next. We are to serve Him as we live for Him. It's service. You know, a lot of folks get saved because don't want to go to hell. And then it's bench time. I played football in high school. I did. When I was in the 10th grade, they started a football team at Christopher Jackson High School. They didn't have one. And if I didn't go out for the football team, they may not have had one. I set a record. I think the record still stands. I can run faster backwards than anybody else on the football team. It wound up that I served on the bench more than any place else. When I graduated from high school, I weighed 132 pounds. I can do that with one leg on the scale now. But I served on the bench more than I ever played. Men don't like to admit things like that, but it's true. And so many Christians get saved because they don't want to go to hell, and they try to serve on the bench the rest of their life. But we are to have service in our life after we're saved. We're to serve God. We're committed to Him. We are to have service. John chapter 12, verse number 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. We're to follow Him. How do I follow Him? Through the Word of God, through the leadership of the Holy Spirit, through the church. We're to follow Him. You know, if I'm going to follow Him, I'm going to be here Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, amen? I'm going to be here. If I'm going to serve Him, I'm going to follow Him through the Word of God. I'm going to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I just firmly believe, my friends, that you and I ought to be involved in the programs of the church. And missions conference is so extremely important. It's one of the heartbeats of the church. It's missions. It's people getting saved literally around the world. We ought to be excited about the 39 missionaries that we have and to think about every day in 39 places around the world, we are supporting men and women who are telling people about the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, not only will this church have a part and be blessed today, but every one of us that are involved in Faith Promise missions will receive a blessing for it, not only in this life, but in the life to come to be rewarded. Amen. Missions conference is so important. It's part of service. I believe that. How we serve Him. Are you serving Him? Are you really serving him, or are you in that crowd that's half in, half out? Sacrifice. You know, if we're committed to God, there's going to be sacrifice in our life. Pastor Holmes this morning talked about time and talent for a little bit. I'll talk about that tonight too. Brother Utley talked about tithe for a little bit, and tonight too. And I'll talk about that, but I'll put all threes together, time, talent, and tithe tonight. It's so important. Hebrews 13 and verses 15 and 16. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for such sacrifices, God is well pleased. My friends, our time needs to be given to God. Not just talent, not just tithe, but our time. You know, a lot of people will be willing to give their tithe, but are stingy with their time. And listen, friends, we need to give our time to God. Sacrifice our time to God. If God is going to be first place in our life and we're going to be committed to him, there's some sacrifices we have to make. Are you with me tonight? It's getting awful quiet here when I start talking about sacrifices. Do you make sacrifices in your life? Brother Utley was talking about giving up some things. Talking about giving up, did he say soda or pop? I can't remember what he said. He said both. He tried to cover everybody in the auditorium is what he's trying to do. But seriously, sacrifices towards God. There's things, my friends, you and I should sacrifice. And we've known missions conferences to cover for a long time. We've known the dates. And we should, if we've got conflictions coming up, made sacrifices already so that we could be here. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
That got better, amen. All right. I can move on now. Number two. I said I had four of them. Number two. Committed to your church. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. You know these verses, but I love them. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, and praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I see in these verses the faithfulness of these people to their church, great fellowship one with another, and making such an influence on the people outside the church that they were drawn to the church and were being added to the church daily. My friends, that's what we need to be. So faithful to our church that we make an influence to those around us. My neighbors have to wonder what's wrong with me. They're always out walking their two bulldogs. Little Boston, what do they call? They're little black and white bulldogs. They was out walking, and I come out tonight with my suit on again to get the car back to Gloria. And you know, I talked to him before, you know, and it's, you know what I'm talking about. They'll listen to you, but they'll look at you funny while you're talking to them, you know. And but you know, I know what they say. Boy, there's something wrong with them people. They're religious nuts or something, you know. But you let something happen. You let something tragic come in their life, and they look at you far different. Do you know what I'm saying? Far different. I remember growing up as a boy on the farm, you could watch your watch, and there was a couple up the road on a farm about a mile and a half. You could set your watch when they'd go by to church. And when they'd come back, you just set your watch. They were faithful. When I was a kid, when I was growing up, and would you believe one day I become their pastor? Isn't that absolutely amazing? Years and years gone by. Committed. We need to have attendance. We need to be folks who are committed. Hebrews 10:25. I know you knew that verse. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but as the manner of some is, and exhorting, encourage one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Jesus is coming again, my friends. I'm telling you, this country is a mess. It's getting worse. I say that because I'm older than most all you here. Not all of you. Most all of you. We just don't know what's going to happen on the horizon, but we know who's in control. We can still trust him. I was heart struck today. Anybody know what happened with the Pittsburgh Steelers today? Well, I don't care about that. And they should get beat. One player stood with his hand over his heart for the national anthem. The whole rest of the team stayed in the locker room. I never thought I'd live to see our flag and our national anthem so disrespected. And they're paid. They're hired. Our country is just in a mess. And we need to set it an example, not just of being good Americans and patriots, but of Christians that honor God and love our country. We need to set it an example. And it comes from faithfulness and honoring him. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. I love this verse. And he came to Nazareth, talking about Jesus, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for the read. The Lord Jesus Christ was faithful to be in the temple on the Sabbath day. He was faithful to be there when the doors was open. And I think it ought to be faithful of us to be here when the doors are open, my friends, as well. Let's be faithful to the missions conference. Committed to our church? Well, that talks about the tithe. I told you I'd get there. You know, God loves a cheerful. I knew you'd know that. Cheerful giver. I'm sorry about that. God loves that a lot better than, you know, when I get this out, you see that bend in it? You see my wallet's bent. See how it's bent? It's not bent because it's empty. It's bent because it's conformed to my hip. You don't want to go back in. And you and I need to be conformed to the Word of God in every aspect, including the tithe. Malachi chapter 3, it speaks well. speaks clearly. Verse number 8, beginning there in verse number 8, Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 through 11. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. That's a promise to those who tithe. But now look at the next verse. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast forth her fruit before the time in the field, said the Lord of hosts. I take that the things are going to last longer for you. Your hot water heater will run longer. Your car will run longer. My brakes went out this week in my truck. Right before I get ready to go to Florida, brakes went out. You say, that's just awful. I think so, too. They're only 27 years old. Now, I think that lasted pretty good, don't you? Amen? And I think God can make things last a long time, extra long time for you when you're tithed. When you tithe, you're faithful to him. There's three issues you find in the Bible about money. The first is tithe. The second is offering. The third is alms. The tithe belongs to the church. The offering is something taken up outside the tithe. It's something that is not involved in the tithe. And missions is an offering. When you make a pledge to missions, when you fill out that card, that is beyond the tithe. That is not to be in the tithe. Okay? And sometimes an offering, a special offering, would be taken up for somebody that really has a need. A family has something that has really happened and they have a need. The Bible calls that an alms offering. Alms are helping somebody that has a special need. So remember that. A tithe. You don't give a tithe, you owe a tithe. Tithe is what we owe. We give offerings and we give alms. Then I see service. If we're committed to the church, we're going to have service. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. For he labors together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereupon. Let every man take heed how he build thereupon. You know, we are the church. Christ is the head. He's the foundation. And we have to be careful how we build upon that foundation with our life. I want to build in such a way it's well-pleasing to him. I want to be faithful to him in my service of how I build. And I want to be faithful to the missions conference, don't you? Amen. Don't you? Amen. All right. Number three, I'll move right along. I had to have this in here. First, we were committed to God. Then committed to our church. And what do you think three is going to be? Committed to our mate. We need to be committed to our mate. Well, I see you looking at each other now. All right. Marriage, Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I tell you, you couldn't love your wives enough. Christ loved the church so much he gave his life for it. That's the kind of love we need to have for our wives. I remember a time or two when I was pastoring, I'd have men, a couple times, men come to me and complain about their wives don't treat them right. You know, my wife's not treating me right. She's not nice to me, and she, you know, she's not doing this, doing that, and this, that, and the other, you know. And I said, I'll tell you what you do. You treat your wife like a queen, and she'll treat you like a king. And I believe that's true. And they found out it's true as well. We need to love our lives. Men, are you listening to me? And they'll respond to that. Christ loved the church so much that he gave himself for it. Marriage is a partnership. And too many marriages wind up being, she does her thing, he does his thing. He does his thing, she does her thing. It shouldn't be that way. It's a partnership. You become one flesh. That doesn't mean you do everything together all the time. Right, Gloria? Everybody needs a little break now and then. But you know what's going on. You do a lot of things together. You still have dates. It's a partnership. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving, what's the next word? Honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. It's a partnership. Hey, listen, I'll tell you what. Husband, wives, why don't we just agree together that we're going to be in the missions conference together this week. Amen? As a partnership, that'd be a good thing to start with tonight. Always remember, marriage is a partnership, and it's for a lifetime, committed to each other for life. All right, number four, and I'm done. We're talking about committed. Committed to God. Committed to your church. Committed to your mate. And last of all, committed to your pastor. Folks, let's show our love to our pastor, his wife, and children. We need to do that. We need to lift them up in prayer. You know, we all talk about Satan's attack upon us. But do you know who he attacks the most? Is our pastor. Do you know who he'd like to trip up more than any of us? Our pastor. And we need to hold our pastor up in prayer and his wife and family. And we need to show our love to them. We need to communicate that to him. He needs to see it, and he needs to know it. Now, he didn't ask me to say that. He didn't know I was going to say this. But you ought to drop a note in his box. Let him know how much you appreciate him. And he ought to know that we love him. You know, and if we have a great relationship with our pastor, we love each other, and we follow the committed life, do you realize what God could do with our church? Do you realize what influence we could have with our neighbors in our community, and how the Holy Spirit could have freedom to convict unsaved people when they come to our church? That makes a big difference, huge difference, my friends. Loyalty to our pastor and leaders will cause a great blessing to fall upon our church. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. And I'll tell you what, Pastor Holmes is a preaching machine. Amen. And I appreciate and love him so much. And I've been his cheerleader from the word go. Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. In other words, watching their whole life. Not blindly following, but following with the word of God and watching their whole life. But to follow. Even as Paul said, to follow me. Paul asked folks to follow him, but do so, we do so as we watch their life. One more verse, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you. And friends, when he stands up here with the word of God and preaches to us, and he preaches on a subject that convicts your heart, my heart, It gives the invitation. The Holy Spirit speaks to our heart. Don't just sit there. Get to the altar. I can't kneel anymore. My back's so messed up. On my putter, I got a cup. I get the ball out without bending over. My back's so messed up. But when God speaks to me and everybody stands, I stay seated with my head bowed, and I pray right there, and I make that my altar. So if you don't see me up here, but I'm seated, my head's down, that's my altar. But if the Holy Spirit speaks to you, don't say no. Get to this altar. Let's have real unity in our heart towards God. And my friends, our church can really grow. Our pastor can be really, really encouraged. And pastors always need encouragement. Obey them to have the rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they might, as they must, give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. And I want him to have joy when he gives account. Amen? Amen? Let's stand together, please.